Sunday. Welcome to another edition of Wellness in the New Millennium. My name is Dr. Jason Uchida, your host for this program on alternative medicine. We have another fascinating program for you tonight as we again talk about an illness that is becoming more frequent in our day of modernization. Furthermore, the problem lies in the fact that there is no medical cure for this painful illness. This debilitating illness is interstitial cystitis. Basically, a very severe bladder infection, but yet not really a bladder infection, and tune in to find out why. Nearly 1 million Americans suffer from interstitial cystitis with no hope of conventional medical cure on the horizon. However, tonight we'll be talking with a young lady who has cured herself from the incurable interstitial cystitis. Please stay with us. Wellness in the New Millennium is brought to you by the leaders in the alternative medical field and health industry, Huckleberry Farms Health Food Store, where you find quality health foods and products at affordable prices. Body Sense Aromatherapeutic body products to relieve body pain. Enzymatic Therapy and Phytopharmaca Supplement Companies, producing quality supplements for your healthcare needs. The Shoe Doctor, where you find the finest made-to-fit foot orthotic. The Light Body Reiki Center, taking healing to another level. The Back to Health Chiropractic Center in Kailua, the chiropractic neurologist. And the Island Wellness Center, where you find an oasis of true health and wellness. Let's talk a few minutes about a very important announcement regarding the next two Sundays. The next two Sundays, I will be on sabbatical. So I'm taking a couple of weeks off to tend to personal matters like the garden that has turned into a jungle and affairs of the family. I will be returning on Sunday, February 18th, to continue dispersing information on preventing illness and treating diseases naturally. Please remember that I will be off the air the following 2 weeks and returning on February 18th, which may be a good time to talk about heart health. And by the way, I plan on having some interesting topics coming up in the next couple of months. I hope to be able to bring on a personal trainer where we can teach you what you can do to increase not only muscle mass, but bone mass for the elderly, and how easily it can be done, as well as having a few other interesting patients on the air with us. If I can convince the shy gentleman, one with who had chronic migraine headaches of every other week, and he can tell you what we did to eliminate the migraines, and who is the other one that I was hoping to bring on? I'll remember that name or that patient in a few minutes, I'm sure. Anyway, let's take this time for an important sponsorship break with our friends from the Light Body Reiki Center and Huckleberry Farms.
Dr. Jason Uchida of Island Wellness Center. Dr. Uchida is trained and licensed as a doctor of naturopathic medicine and has been in private practice for the past 12 years. Naturopathic physicians are the only doctors who are medically trained in the use of herbs, vitamins, and minerals. Dr. Uchida is currently a member on the State of Hawaii Board of Examiners in Naturopathic Medicine, and she may direct appropriate letters and phone calls to his office located at 615 P.E. Koi Street, Suite 1114, Honolulu, Hawaii, 96814, and the phone number is 589-1955. That's 589-1955. Or you may email Dr. Uchida at wellness@pdchawaii.com.
Welcome back to Wellness in the New Millennium. My name is Dr. Jason Uchida. Tonight our topic of discussion is about a painfully debilitating illness that is progressively coming more common today, as like many other illnesses that we've talked about on the show. However, the seriousness of this disease is that there is no conventional medical cure. As with many of the other illnesses that we talk about on this program, the disease that we'll be discussing tonight is called interstitial cystitis, otherwise known as IC. Also, my patient Jan is joining us to share with you what she did to cure herself from this incurable illness. However, before we talk with Jan, let's educate ourselves about interstitial cystitis. IC is one of the chronic pelvic pain disorders, and why it's considered a pelvic pain disorder is that the pains exist in many different areas of the pelvis, specifically the bladder, but the pains could feel like they're coming from any part around the abdomen, the stomach, the uterus, or the ovaries, and also the upper legs. IC is a condition resulting from recurring discomfort or pain in the bladder and the surrounding pelvic region. The symptoms of IC vary from case to case. Individuals affected with IC may experience mild discomfort, bladder pressure, and tenderness to intense burning pain in the bladder and surrounding pelvic area. Other symptoms may include an urgent need to urinate and a frequent need to urinate. So how are these symptoms of bladder and pelvic pain and urinary urgency and frequency caused? In interstitial cystitis, the bladder has become irritated and inflamed, causing the burning bladder and pelvic pain. This chronic irritation to the inside of the bladder causes ulcerations which may bleed. With continual irritation and ulceration to the muscle of the bladder, scarring eventually develops, resulting in a stiff and hard bladder. As more scar tissue develops within the bladder, it begins to shrink in size. The sensitive, raw, and shrunken bladder causes the constant burning pain, urinary urgency, and frequency. Individuals with severe cases of IC may urinate between 60 to 100 times a day, causing great difficulty in sleep and functioning in everyday life. So imagine if you have to use the bathroom 100 times a day, and sometimes some of my patients say they have to go maybe every 10 to 5 minutes. Amazing. And it's mainly because as the urine collects in the bladder, because the urine is acidic and there's ulcers inside of the bladder, the urine will burn and irritate the bladder, causing the body, the bladder and the individual, to want to expel the urine as fast as possible. And also what scientists feel is potentially the bladder is so small that amount of urine will cause the bladder to want to empty itself. But I can't imagine a bladder being the size of a walnut, because typically it's quite a bit larger than that. So my feeling, it's mainly because of the ulcers in the bladder and the urine irritating these ulcers, wanting the body, or the body then wanting to get rid of the urine as fast as possible. Currently, it is estimated that close to 1 million Americans suffer from interstitial cystitis, and over 90% are female. The cause of IC is unknown. Although the symptoms of IC resemble a bacterial infection, and that's basically the reason why they call it interstitial cystitis, even though there really is no inflammation or infection, I should say. There really is no infection to the bladder taking place. No organisms can be found on laboratory tests, and patients don't respond to antibiotic therapy. IC doesn't appear genetically related. Theories being studied today are autoimmune disorder, and we've talked at length about autoimmune disorders on past shows. And the most promising theory of what is causing interstitial cystitis is that some scientists suggest that certain substances in the urine may be irritating and ulcering the bladder with people with IC. With no substances unique to people with interstitial cystitis has yet to be found or isolated to date. Currently, there is no definitive diagnostic test to identify IC. Doctors must rule out other conditions before considering a diagnosis of IC. Among the disorders that must be ruled out are urinary tract infection, vaginal infections, bladder cancer, bladder inflammation caused by radiation to the pelvic area, eosinophilic cystitis, tuberculous cystitis, kidney stones, endometriosis, and sexually transmitted disease. So all those other illnesses that I mentioned earlier can cause similar symptoms or similar pains, and they must be ruled out first before the diagnosis of interstitial cystitis can be given. When all of those other illnesses are ruled out, then the doctor will label the individual with interstitial cystitis. And typically, because it's incurable, the pains linger for many, many, many years. Also, upon ruling out the these other disorders, the physician can ultimately visually examine the bladder wall and finding signs of inflammation with the presence of ulcers would be the definitive diagnostic procedure. A biopsy of the bladder wall is beneficial in detecting bladder wall inflammation and thickening, as well as ruling out bladder cancer. Scientists haven't found a cure for interstitial cystitis. Treatment is aimed at relieving the symptoms to date. Ibuprofen can be given to relieve pain. Antidepressants are used to alleviate the psychological stress that accompanies living with chronic pain. Bladder distension can be given to stretch out the shrinking bladder by filling the bladder with liquid or gas. Bladder instillation with DMSO, also called the bladder wash or bath, DMSO is passed into the bladder via a catheter. Scientists believe that DMSO relieves pain by decreasing the inflammation in the bladder. Ultimately, these treatments produce only mild relief and the symptoms from the symptoms and don't result in a cure. At this time, I'm not sure if my patient Jan is called quite yet. Not yet. I'm running a little early because I thought I would have Body Sense on for a few minutes. So I can kind of fill time by sharing with you out there why I was able to help Jan with her interstitial cystitis. So basically, in order to figure out what the problem may be, if Jan, you called earlier, Doug was absent, then he's now back, so please give us a call. Okay, Jan's on the line. Hi, Jan. Hi, Jan. How you doing?
Actually fine, thank you.
Thanks for calling. Were you listening to the show?
I'm trying to.
Oh. Yeah. Are you not able to catch the station?
No, I have it. I'm trying to make it really soft so I don't hear myself and get messed up.
Get some backwash.
Yeah.
Did you have a good day today?
Oh, busy day.
Busy day. Super Bowl party.
Party and baseball game. So
baseball game.
Yeah.
Oh, did your son win?
I don't think they won.
Well, it's not in the winning,
but
right?
It was a good game. I got the game ball. That was good.
Oh, great. Well, thank you for calling tonight and taking the time to share with us the knowledge that you learned from your case.
Okay.
Jen, would you tell us what symptoms you had along with the interstitial cystitis?
Actually, when I first came to see you, I had a lot of complaints.
Many.
Mm-hmm. And then the main ones were, you know, I was having a lot of abdominal pains. I had a lot of back pains, bloating and gas pains, nausea, fatigue, muscle aches. I had recurring cystitis, which, you know, bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's basically a bladder infection.
Right, and feeling faint. Dizzy spells.
Mm-hmm.
Some acne and eczema.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a whole lot of things going on.
Yeah. So, and that can confuse physicians. And physicians, like most people know, basically focus on one area. And many times, the whole host of symptoms can give people clues to what may be going on. And that's basically what I guess you found as well as myself.
Mm-hmm.
But to put matters into perspective, because, you know, people might think, oh, she just had a combination of all of these symptoms. But they really can't understand the intensity of some of the symptoms that you had. Would you mind sharing a little bit about how bad were those abdominal pains that you felt?
Well, you know, they were bad enough for me to seek, you know, try to find treatment for it or mm-hmm. find a cause for it.
Right.
So I had, of course, seen my OBGYN, I went to see an internist,
mm-hmm.
I went to see a urologist.
Mm-hmm.
What
kinds of diagnoses did they give you? For the abdominal pain, let's say.
Okay, I had when I went to the OBGYN, of course we did an ultrasound, mm-hmm. and they said, you know, nothing substantiated in that, possible endometriosis.
Okay. You went to a gastroenterologist, I believe, or
no,
urologist?
No, I didn't. I saw a urologist because I was having recurring cystitis, and I had cystitis by then about 3 or 4 times, actually. I think it was about the 4th time that I had seen the urologist, and this is the 4th time in the space of a year.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and basically in the past when I've had cystitis, you know, they were rare occurrences.
Right.
Maybe.
Once every 5 years or so, I believe you told me.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this was something a little bit unusual.
Right.
And every time I'd be put on antibiotics to treat it, essentially I felt worse after.
Mm-hmm. In what way did...
Not worse as far as symptoms of the cystitis would clear up, of course.
Okay.
But physically worse in feeling like, you know, the muscle achiness,
okay.
the fatigue, and the abdominal pains, which really bothered me.
Mm-hmm.
And just really feeling of general unwell and not doing well.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, I question, I have something systemic going on, you know?
Uh-huh.
You wonder what's going on.
Well, you had a variety of symptoms that would make you think that you had a systemic problem, because they were all, well, many symptoms that weren't related to an organ. How often were you bothered by the abdominal pain? Did it just come once a week, or was it daily?
You know, sometimes it'd be like constantly for weeks.
For weeks,
every minute of the day for weeks? Mm-hmm,
okay.
Weeks, and then it would disappear for a while, and then it'll come back again.
Mm-hmm.
So, and usually, of course, it would come back after my bouts of cystitis.
Right.
So it'd be always worse after that.
Okay. And I recall your symptoms were actually getting worse through that 1 year that you had four bladder infections.
Yes.
Yeah, they were continually getting worse.
Mm-hmm.
You also fainted once and suffered from severe cold sweats, but that was caused by, I believe, the pain, right?
I don't know if, you know, doctors are saying, oh, possible hormonal changes,
okay.
you know. I don't know what was the cause, but in all of this, I was, you know, having the abdominal pains. I mean, they were severe enough that they woke me up at night.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's when it's severe.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, let's see. You also had eczema
mm-hmm.
on your elbows and neck
mm-hmm.
during this time. Okay. What type of treatment did the medical doctors give you from your first, I guess, cystitis or a bladder infection that happened in that 1 year?
The first time I had cystitis, I was treated with Cipro.
Okay. A very common
mm-hmm.
antibiotic use
mm-hmm.
for bladder infections.
Of course, after that, I got a yeast infection.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you want, I'll go through the general history if you like.
Oh, that'd be fine.
Okay. So that was...
From what happened from, I guess, when it first started back
mm-hmm.
in late 1997.
That was 97. And then, you know, after that first course, we had a yeast infection.
Mm-hmm.
And then in November of 97, I had the first ultrasound done, and that was when the diagnosis of possible endometriosis was suggested.
Right, okay.
And in early 1998, I had a yeast infection, and
okay.
I self-treated that.
Okay.
And I was having a lot of cold sores at that time, too.
Okay.
And then I was having, you know, continuing to have abdominal pain. And in June, I had another bout of cystitis.
In June of 98?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you were suffering from the abdominal pain throughout this whole time.
Right, off and on. And then I was treated with, this time it was a different antibiotic. It's nitrofurantoin, I believe it was.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then after that, I got a yeast infection, of course.
Uh-huh.
And we had to treat it with Difflucan twice before it went away.
Okay.
No.
Why did you choose to go to the medical doctor for the Diflucan this time as opposed to using Monistat and self-treating?
Well, you know, I just thought it was faster.
Okay.
Might be faster.
Okay. Well, Diflucan is quite powerful. It's...
And easier, by the way.
Easier, and it's very toxic, and that's why medical doctors typically don't want to give Diflucan out like candy. Mm. You know, I'm not sure if they just gave you one pill.
It was one pill.
Yeah.
And it was twice because I said, you know,
it's not working.
It's not working.
Okay.
And they said, again, that's unusual, and I said, what's not working?
Yeah, and that should have gave people a clue right there, and the reason why I want to mention that now is because the list of symptoms and the chronology of the illness that you're giving me was giving me a lot of information to the problem that was, to what was causing your problem. And with you mentioning that you took the Diflucan, which is very toxic and very powerful at getting rid of yeast.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, typically doctors only want to give one pill, and that usually does the trick with getting rid of the yeast infection. But that one pill didn't, so that told me that, man, you must have a lot of yeast in your body. And probably that was what was causing the all these varied problems.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jen.
And then actually in August of 98, then I had another bout of cystitis. I went to see a urologist by then. I'm thinking, this is too much. I'm just not feeling good.
Mm-hmm.
We had an X-ray done to... and an ultrasound x-ray, I think, was to rule out kidney stones.
Okay.
Ultrasound, maybe to rule out any problems within the bladder itself.
Okay. I guess like a mass in the bladder. So ruling out bladder cancer.
Possibly.
I know you can't say whether that would be true. Or you can't tell what the doctor was saying.
No, I don't know. I didn't ask at that time, and I just said, okay.
Okay.
You know, we're going to find out what the cause of all of this.
Yeah, help me. Okay. And what else did you have done in August of 98?
I think I saw my internist because of the abdominal pain, and we tried to test for H. pylori. I don't know if it's a bacterium or I forget.
It's a bacteria that causes ulcers in the stomach.
Yeah, so we did that, and I believe the results were kind of borderline, I think he said. You know, borderline, but I was put on Biaxin and Prevacid and something else.
Okay. Another medication. Okay.
And then I felt really bad by then.
You felt really sick.
I felt really sick.
Okay.
And then I could tell that I also had, at that time, I had oral yeast, and I recognized that because I'm in the dental field.
Right.
So I knew I had that.
Okay. So I'm not sure if you understand, but when you have oral yeast infection as an adult,
that means your immune system is very compartmented.
Exactly. Very, very weak. And when you were mentioning that you were having a lot of cold sores occurring back in January of 1998, I already knew that your immune system was compromised at that point because cold sores typically happen when your immune system is a little bit weaker because it is typically caused by viruses. And at that time, you were getting your first rounds of antibiotics. And typically when someone receives antibiotics and gets really sick, that usually means that the opposite is happening, meaning antibiotics kills bacteria. So what would be strengthened from antibiotics? And that's typically a fungus. So that would be the reasons why you were feeling really sick at that time.
Mm-hmm.
When you took, I guess, that fourth round of antibiotics.
Oh, yeah, that was it. And then I decided to come look for, we decided to look for a naturopathic physician.
Ah, okay. Would you tell us who diagnosed you with the interstitial cystitis?
Oh, okay. I went to see, that was my urologist.
Okay.
That developed actually after about a month after I saw you, by the way.
Oh, okay.
So that, but
the
he
diagnosis.
Did, yeah, that, because I had another round of cystitis.
Yes.
But anyway, at that time, I had Actually, I had gone to see you first, and then you treated the bladder infection, and it kind of went away. But, you know, I was having a lot of bladder pain still. That I thought was kind of
unusual.
And I couldn't understand why I was having so much pain. So I went to see the urologist, and he put me on more antibiotics.
Okay.
And actually, I got, and the bladder pain just intensified so much. And then there was frequency of urination, you know, was going like a lot every hour. I couldn't sleep. I'm just going. And then there was also the urge to urinate.
Right.
And then he had mentioned that my symptoms sound like interstitial cystitis. Mm-hmm. It may be possible I have it. And then he suggested I pick up some reading by Dr. Parsons.
Okay, very good. How did that reading help you with understanding?
Actually, I couldn't find anything at that time, you know. And when I, you know, actually I left his office, I was very disappointed because I felt like I didn't get anything to help me with my pain. I was so, you know, my pain at that point was so bad, I thought. He didn't give me anything. You know, there was no medicine, they didn't give me, he did say, oh, diet plays a part, and some people, you know, their diet makes them, the pain worse.
Right. Okay.
So, of course, now, since he mentioned me to look for this book, I'm now looking for readings on interstitial cystitis.
Okay.
And I had armed with something to look for.
Right, right.
And so I had gone.
You had an illness.
I'd gone to the bookstore, of course, and, you know, the book he told me to look for was not there.
Okay.
But I did find something else about interstitial cystitis, and I read about it, and it was very helpful, and there was, you know, websites to look at, that was very good.
Okay. So from your reading, what did you find out about interstitial cystitis at that point? Did it answer why your urologist didn't offer much help?
I still don't know.
Okay.
I felt like my feelings were like he should have, you know, offered, because there were some, you know, in my readings there are some suggestions, self-help suggestions,
right.
That really he could have offered that could have alleviated maybe some of the discomfort, or I would have been armed with something to try.
Right.
Even to try something
would have gave you
at
hope.
That point would have been good and off. You know, it's like hope or some, you know,
mm-hmm.
something
mm-hmm.
to end the pain.
Okay.
But I did find some self-help, some things, and that's, you know, at least I had something to go by, something to try.
Right. Well, basically, I guess the reason why he wasn't able to provide you with more help was, one, there he didn't have any treatment for you, but two, I understand what you're saying, because that's one of the reasons why many of my patients come to me, actually, Jan, because, you know, they're looking for answers or something that can help them alleviate some of the symptoms that they have, maybe not to cure them, but at least something that they can do on their own. And Ruth before you on last week's show mentioned that when she was diagnosed with diabetes, the medical doctor just said, you know, go to the American Diabetic Association and find out what kind of diet they recommend, and that's all he really did, is mention change your diet and exercise. But, you know, how much do you change your diet and how much do you exercise to help you control the problem? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Were you able to find enough information to provide you with some guidelines to what you could do?
Yeah, there's a lot of information,
mm-hmm.
actually,
mm-hmm.
That you can find. Apparently, this is something that is being a lot of, it's fairly new.
It is fairly new.
And there's a lot of information that is now coming out about it.
Right.
So yes, you know, fortunately, there is a lot of information.
Okay. Before we go there, why did you, and I recall you understanding what systemic candida infection was. How did you come about that?
How did I get candida?
No, how did you come about understanding what...
Oh, how did I think that's what I had originally?
Right, because
you know,
when I
because,
mentioned
okay,
it
before,
to you...
Okay, that's right.
You said, I thought maybe I might have something like that.
Oh, because, you know, As I'm, you know, before I saw you and I had last seen my internist and then I had, was on that Biax and I really felt sicker and I just could not understand why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was looking, I had read something, I think, in some magazine, I thought.
Oh, okay.
And that said something about candida, and then so I had gone to a health food place, and I saw this book, and it was about candida, I think. And
a book
it was
on candida?
By Dr. Cook, maybe.
Oh, okay.
And then I opened the cover, and it has this, you know, the first page, it has this checklist. Do you have this, and, you know,
all
I thought,
those symptoms.
Oh, my gosh, that's me.
Yeah. Okay.
That's
so the book you were mentioning was The Yeast Connection.
Uh-huh.
And that's written by Dr. William Crook. And that book actually came out in, I believe, the late 70s initially, when he was first aware of this problem of taking, larger doses of antibiotics and corticosteroids as well as estrogen that's causing a problem called systemic candida infections. And the list of symptoms are very, very large. And like what you were saying is when you looked at the book and the symptoms, you said this is what I have many of the symptoms.
Basically. Well, I had almost all of them,
all of the
I think,
symptoms.
At that time.
Okay, which a lot. So for you out there listening, you can tell that Jan was, you know, she was hurting. You know, she was in a lot of trouble because she had a lot of those symptoms. And that's basically what naturopaths will do to help them diagnose a problem. We don't necessarily just look at the bladder itself, because the bladder problem could be caused by something else originating somewhere else in the body, let's say the small intestines or maybe even the lungs. So we look at all the symptoms all together to come up with a differential diagnosis. What could it be? And then we try to wean and dive from there by doing some detective work, like going back in the patient's past medical history. What was happening just before these symptoms started to occur? You know, was there surgery done? Was there an illness happening? A death in the family even may trigger something like that. All of that will give us information to help us help the individual recover from the illness. So basically what I figured out was that there was a systemic candida infection that was causing not only the cystitis-type problems, but also the other multiple symptoms. So understanding systemic candida can also help the physician diagnose, let's say, cystitis in this example. Because many of you who have listened to other shows before have listened to Joe, who had his major symptoms were insomnia and anxiety. Back earlier, we had Cecily, who had chronic eczema. Also, Dean had chronic eczema and asthma. I forget the other patient that was on earlier, too, who had endometriosis. That would be Nicole, had endometriosis. And all these primary illnesses basically were being caused by a systemic candida infection, and that's all I treated, and that's and they recovered. So I can't tell you that it must be the candida that was causing the problem, because when we treated it, the problems went away. So the other thing that I understood about systemic candida is some of the toxins that it releases. So I'm going to talk about mainly just two of these toxins, Jan, and one of them is tartaric acid, and the other is arabinose. So what I understand about these waste byproducts that the candida release is, one, the tartaric acid is an acid, and it does end up in the bladder. And that will eventually burn, irritating the bladder, causing possibly the ulcerations and then the scarring that shrinks the bladder. And the second toxin, arabinose, scientifically, we understand that arabinose actually changes the protein matrix or the building block of the protein, so it binds to each other abnormally. Instead of end to end, it will bind side to side, basically causing abnormal muscle tissue development that scientists believe might be causing the interstitial cystitis scarring, and also people with fibromyalgia with that muscle pain. The arabinose might be causing the abnormal protein or buildup in the muscles, causing the stiffness and the pain that those individuals have. We look back at Jan's history and saw a lot of antibiotic use. So basically, that's how I came to the conclusion that it was probably systemic candida. So after the detective work, the rest becomes easy, and it actually gets hard on the patient, right, Jan?
Oh, yeah.
And Jan will tell you what we did to help her get well. So I placed you on a specific treatment to get rid of the systemic candida. Mm-hmm. Would you be kind enough to share with the listening audience what it was?
Well, you put me on an anti-candida treatment and diet. So,
what was the hardest part of this treatment?
The diet. The diet is hard.
Why was it hard?
Well, you can't have, no sweets allowed.
No sweets.
No breads. You have to change your whole way of eating, actually, and
basically
thinking, because, you know, everything that it's really different.
Right. And those sweets, because that sugar is candida's primary food.
Mm-hmm.
So if anyone is eating sugar, there's no way we can get rid of the candida faster than they can grow. And that's the common mistake that many physicians make, is that they think they can just use Diflucan to get rid of the problem. But as you saw, with two doses of Diflucan, which I would imagine most physicians would say would knock out any candida strain, didn't. And that's because the candida was so strong, because of the chronic antibiotic therapy that just kind of caused them to get stronger and stronger and multiply the numbers a great deal. Go ahead, Jan.
So there were supplements as well as the diet.
Okay. Before you talk about supplements, I want to talk about something specific to you or interstitial cystitis, because Jan needs to have a purple heart given to her, because just treating systemic candida alone with that diet is really tough. But when you have interstitial cystitis, you have to go on an even more limited diet.
Yes.
And it has to be done, because if you eat certain foods, that will cause the pains to get to become even worse.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that, Jan?
You know, it's the acids in the food.
Exactly.
And it's also certain foods have certain amino acids that are proven to be, if you have interstitial cystitis, to aggravate the
bladder pain.
Pain.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes it's a burning pain. It can be a stabbing pain.
Mm-hmm.
All sorts of kind of pain. Like even kind of like a shocking kind of pain.
One of my patients,
very uncomfortable.
Yeah, one of my patients had actually upper thigh pain.
Yeah, you
thigh.
Do. It runs down your leg.
Yeah. And
I did too.
She said it was a stabbing and pulling pain, and that was her signal that she had to go use the bathroom, which at times was every 5 to 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
How often did you need to use the bathroom at the worst?
I think, you know, there are times when it was like every 15 minutes.
Okay,
yeah.
That's pretty bad, because,
you
know, you have family, you work, and you're trying to get some rest. And that really disturbs your sleep.
You know, and it always seems to be in the nighttime when you're resting. I don't know. But in the daytime, it just seems that, you know, I could cope a lot more. But, you know, in the nighttime when I'm trying to rest and lie in bed, boy,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, get up and go all the time, it's really bothersome. You just get really tired.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
physically tired also. Mentally tired, physically tired.
Yes. Yeah, coping with chronic pain does wear you down. Would you share with the listening audience what types of foods are acidic, and which acidic foods did you avoid on the diet?
Oh, gosh. You know, you have to avoid almost all fruits.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when I was on a candida diet, of course, there was no fruit.
Basically.
So, you know, I had to do two diets at once, really.
Yeah.
And it was really hard.
Really
I mean,
hard.
I was just really limited.
We also removed
rice, and rice is okay, and meats were okay, and nuts and seeds were okay, and of course, most vegetables okay, but then you have this interstitial cystitis, so now you have to worry about things.
Acidic vegetables.
Yes, which is tomato,
exactly.
Well, but you can have that anyway.
A staple.
Tomatoes,
right.
And I remember avocados was on my candida okay list, but you know avocados on your IC list is no.
Exactly.
So a lot
of the
papaya was out too.
Right.
And that was one of the things that was allowed that was sweet. Remember that?
In the candida diet, but in the interstitial cystitis diet, it's eliminated.
It was out. No.
So a lot of the goodies that
that you could have, you could not have.
Exactly. So I give you a lot of credit for completing the program. Because, you know, it's a tough diet to begin with, but then you have to add the foods you need to eliminate from the interstitial cystitis diet that really made your diet really narrow.
Mm-hmm.
And it does take a while to recover from interstitial cystitis.
It did.
And I want to explain why. Because most people with systemic candida will get well in about 8 months. But Jan had to continue longer, and the reason for that is at that point in time when she's having a lot of pain from the scarred bladder, and the ulcers in the bladder, it takes a while to heal the bladder. So it may take up to 2-3 years for the bladder to heal enough that the acids in the urine doesn't irritate it. What other treatment did you receive from me?
Okay, so we went on the Candida supplement treatment.
Mm-hmm. Mainly to...
And that was, with the Similase and the Microbac and the Phytostan.
Right.
And the SF-722, we had a lot of things, you know, defense factors, optibiotic, and something for your liver, and then,
the
I was taking the Arctostaphylos Althea, which seemed to soothe my bladder.
Exactly, and that is an herbal combination that provides mucus to the urine, so it soothes the bladder, and that's why it worked for you. But the other supplements that you were given were, one, to kill the candida.
Right.
And then, two, we had to replace the candida with the normal bacteria that belongs in the body. Then we wanted to strengthen your immune system because your immune system was compromised, because we would need your immune system to help us once we were done with getting rid of the candida. And then, obviously, we wanted to help your kidneys and your liver to function better as we started to detoxify your body of the candida. So, Jan, how are you feeling today?
Actually, I feel really good. I have no bladder pain. Only when I eat something that I know is off on my IC no-no list, but sometimes I'll eat a little bit and I feel a little bit pain, but I know what is why.
Okay.
And then it'll go away in about 24 hours.
Okay.
But it's not bad pain.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have any pain in the bladder anymore. That's good. I feel a lot better. I don't have the abdominal pains anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any.
How's the energy?
Yeah, achiness. You know, I'm looking back at my list of complaints and I think, did I have all of that?
Yeah. There are lists.
Because after a while, it's kind of almost hard to remember. But
and this list is long, and I kind of want to read them all again. Because it's amazing. I mean, they were all related to each other. But
And in between this, by the way, you had said, because of the candida, you may get allergic to
certain
foods. Boy, and I got allergic to almost all of them. And I can eat them now, but that was a hard thing.
Right. Dealing with the food allergies that had developed. And that's another complexity to the candida treatment program, is many physicians don't understand that you can't just only treat candida. You have to also treat food allergies at the same time, because if you do have a systemic candida infection, you're ultimately going to have food allergies or sensitivities to certain foods, because when you have a systemic candida infection, your digestive potential is already weakened. And with a weakened digestive tract, you're going to not digest your foods well, and that's going to increase your risk of having food sensitivities or food allergies.
Mm-hmm.
And that made it tough for you. That actually took a while for us to figure out.
Yeah, that was a long one. And then actually, because of the IC pain, actually, we had to change around the supplements. There are sometimes I could not take all the supplements because it would increase the bladder pain.
That's right, because the bladder at that point was so raw, let's say,
yeah,
that even some of the supplements were too acidic for
mm-hmm.
it. So we would avoid actually
yeah,
one of the immune supplements, I believe,
mm-hmm.
because that was had the vitamin C in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that made it, I guess, a little tougher, too, because we couldn't move as fast as
right.
we would want to have
right.
with the treatment program. So, Jan, I know what you're going to say if I ask you what was the most difficult part of the treatment.
Actually, it was staying on that diet. It was
yeah.
really hard. But, you know, because it eliminated, you know, it helped to eliminate the bladder pain,
mm-hmm.
you know. And in each month, each progressive month, I could feel the pain getting a little less. It took about 8 months, I think, for it to completely go away.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there'd be degrees in there. From when I talk about the initially when I had the pain, I mean, so intense that you could not think about anything but this pain. I had a car accident because
mm-hmm.
I was not concentrating. But, yeah, it was just from that point of being so intense pain and just
mm-hmm.
so all-consuming
mm-hmm.
and to having not pain.